Today I'm going to talk about a few topics relating to deep rather than deep brain anomalies, relating to case theory. Of course, these are right now very well-known stuff, and I intend, because there are mathematicians in the audience, I will include some stuff which is even more well-known. Those are an explanation of what anomaly is, and the range for anomaly cancellation mechanism, which is sort of a preparation for understanding deep brain anomalies. And for the part of T-duality, I'm going to, first of all, give a very quick review of what was covered in the last four lectures by physicists, and then I just briefly mention what T-duality is from the case theoretic point of view. I'm going to now review the anomaly and family index theorem. Suppose we have field theory which has the following information. There is a space-time X and G is a finite dimensional D group. We have a principal bundle over X, and we have a space of connection and group of gauge transformation and points. And the fermions are in the twisted spinor bundle, which is twisted by a finite dimensional representation of G. And in quantum theory, we normally look at this partition function. There are integrations over fermions. And if you look at this part, the fermion integration, then it certainly depends on the connection A, but it's not usually a function on the space A mod G, which is physical configuration space, but rather it's a section of a line bundle, which is called a determinant line bundle. The fiber of the of L at a particular point A is given by this exterior power. And if it happens that the natural connection for L is not trivial, then we cannot parallel transport, then we cannot integrate further on a space A mod G. In this case, the quantum theory is not defined, and we say that the gauge anomaly. The curvature of that determinant line bundle can be calculated by family index theorem, and it is consists of taking a trend character of the curvature of the universal bundle, which is constructed by a T.I. Singer with a hat class, and integrate along X. And we only take the two-form part, and that would be the curvature. It is a curvature, and in the two-form on a space A mod G. So X is already integrated, we end up with a form, a two-form there. And from here we can read out whether there is an anomaly or not, depending on whether the curvature is zero or not. And I should put the other transparency there. Now, if you want to include gravitational anomaly, that is, if you want to explore whether here is the morphism of invariant, then we better take the family of the rock operator over this space. And so far, this is a mathematical way to consider or to describe anomalies. Physicists have different ways. Here is an alternative way. Remember that A to A mod G is almost the principal G bundle, which is the infinite dimensional gauge, group of gauge transformation. And the line bundle is associated bundle for that. And since it's associated line bundle, then there's a representation of G on that set of complex numbers C. If this is a set of complex numbers where e to the power of WA lives. Now, if G acts trivially on that C, that is, if this amount is gauge invariant, then the line bundle is trivial, and therefore the curvature is zero, and we do not have anomaly. If this quantity is not gauge invariant, then the line bundle is not trivial, and we do have anomaly. So, alternatively, instead of calculating the curvature, we can calculate the gauge variation of this effective action. Now, here is how this effective acceleration of the effective action is calculated, it is calculated by what is called a transgression formula. In the family index, if space-time is d-dimensional, then if I take d plus 2 degree of the differential form in this combination locally, because it is closed locally rather than the mass form, then if I take the gauge variation for that, because that is supposed to be gauge invariance, and therefore the d of the gauge variation of I d plus 1 is closed, and therefore locally it can be written as an exact form. And the claim is that the variation of the effective action is precisely equal to this d form integrated on the d dimensional space time, and that is what is called transgression procedure to calculate the effective action. And it's a simple exercise to in differential geometry to show that, to check that if the representation of the Lie algebra, the group of gauge transformation, acts on a set of complex numbers, the action is given by this, then the curvature of the determining line bundle was computed by the standard index theorem. In that case, should be very easy exercise in differential geometry. And usually in quantum field theory, in order to avoid anomaly, we should arrange the representation carefully, which happens to be a standard model, such that either the variation is zero or the curvature is equal to zero. That is a very quick review of anomaly. Now, in order to appreciate a cancellation of anomaly in the V-brain, so let's first consider how anomaly is cancelled in string theory without V-brain. Let's look at type 1 to the string theory. It's an orbital portion of the theory known as type 2 string theory, and that is the automorphism that is on the type 2 string theory. And at low energies, type 1 string theory is described by the fact that field theory on 10-dimensional space-time, and these are field contents in the interested sector. N equals to 1, D equals to 10 supergravity, and the twisted sector is N equals to 1 Young Mills with the gauge group SON for some N. Now here are the fermions in these theories. Now the first one I have gravitino, which is the same 3-half field. And from the second, I have Gugino, which is a Mariano vowel spinner in three dimensions, but of course in the adjoint representation of SON. Now, those are the fermions, and from those fermions, we have Dirac operators acting that, and when we do the path integral, it's possible to have anomaly. And again, anomalies are given by family index, and if we take out the relevant characteristic classes, which we should do, we should perform transgression now. We should take the d plus 2 degree differential form, and this, in this case, since dimension is 10, we should have pick up a 12 form, and here we have something which in the Feynman diagram corresponds to Taxicov Feynman diagram, but it is one of the 10 characteristic classes. And capital TI is traced in the adjoint representation. So this is a complicated standard. It's obtained from a family index calculation. Now, one would like to know whether the anomaly which obtained from transgression of that index is equal to zero or not. Fortunately, for n equals to 32 only, the trace of f curvature to the power 6, which appears there, is factorizable. Here, small trace is the trace in the defining representation of S of 32. And only for 32 this happens. And this is very good, because we can then factorize the whole characteristic class, I12, into a 4th form and an 8th form, where the 8th form is given by this. Now, we can now start doing transgression. We can do this separately. If we do transgression on the 8th form, then I write x space as a d of 6 of 7th form locally, and the variation of the 7th form is locally in exact form, and that thing that is inside D is what we should expect, that appears in the anomaly variation, anomalous variation of the infected action. And also, these are the, this is the usual characteristic passage, which is represented by the V4 differential form. So locally, there's a D of the transaminase form, and if I vary the transaminase form, I get two forms. So if I have all these ingredients, because I12 is factorized, then I can easily write down the transgression for I12, and what I get is I110, which is given by this formula. This I110 is not unique, it can depend on any an arbitrary parameter alpha. And then the claim is that the variation and the gauge or the diffeomorphism transformation is equal to the integration of that 10 form on a 10 dimensional vector, on a 10 dimensional manifold, and it is not zero for any alpha. So there are anomalies, unfortunately, if we do not do anything. So the claim now, the conclusion is that if I do not add anything, then supergravity and supernamios, even when the group is SO32, is anomalous. A very interesting idea is to add a counterterm in the action, such that e to the power of that counterterm belongs to a section of the opposite of the dual line bundle. So that when I multiply these two together, when I multiply e to the power of the counterterm and that Fermion integration, I get an ordinary function on the space A mod G. Then, in that case, I have I can define a theory which is anomaly free. Yes.
And this counterterm would be sometimes called the Green-Schwarz mechanism.
Hmm? Yeah. This is a crucial part of Green-Schwarz mechanism. Okay. Fortunately, there is a way to write down this counterterm. It is equal to this. B is the B field in the Schwarz sector. But we have to pay a price. The price to pay is that B field now naively is a two form on the space and now has to transform non trivially under gauge and diffeomorphism transformation. So it is not two form naively, it is something complicated. Intrinsically, it must be more complicated than two form. And field strength has to be modified non linearly according to the transaminase form in order. To be, in order for that to be invariant under gauge and diffeomorphism. And as a consequence, we have constraints on the characteristic class of the tangent bundle and the gauge bundle that have to be the same in the round cohomology class. And, but the reason we actually do that is to put a contingent here whose variation cancels the variation of the fermion determinant. So now they, if you look at from the point of view of associated bundle, then we have a trivial representation of the gauge group and of the diffeomorphism group, so the theory is anomaly free. So that is the Green-Schwarz anomaly solution. So notice that the crucial part is to add a hand section of the dual line bundle. And we'll do the same thing in the presence of D-brain. Yes.
So when you use that differential form, which is 2 degrees higher than the dimension of the manifold, yes. Is there some rigorous way of doing that? I mean, I know physicists, we can just sit and remove these and calculate them.
But
I mean, in some way, it should be zero, right? Because it's a 12 form.
Right. But you symbolically regard it as an abstract algebra, in the abstract algebra. If you really want to give it a meaning, should be the curvature. The curvature should be the curvature of the universal bundle, which has components, which has directions in the space-time, but it also has directions in A mod G, which is the gauge variation. And you're only integrating over the space-time. You're leaving the direction in A mod G so that you end up with a two form, which is a reasonable curvature form for the line bundle.
Okay.
So now we consider string theory in the presence of B grain for simplicity. I should turn off the B field in the Neville Schwarz spectrum. Otherwise, the theory would be very complicated. So x10 is space time. Y is the p plus 1 dimensional world volume of a D grain for type B string P even. I call that correct. Here, n is the normal bundle of y in x, and because of the existence of fermion in the with the carriage normal indices, n has better to have a spin C structure. Now, suppose there are n identical DP brains whose world volume is the same as y, then string endpoint can end up on different branches of these n D brains, and that's why we have a chain pattern bundle which is a red n. This is bundle with stage group un, and the low energy effective theory consists of at least the following thing. It has a un gauge field on the world volume y, and it has fermions with indices in the spinner bundle of x, which compose in this way according to tangent direction of y and the direction normal to y. And moreover, we have to have supersymmetry, so these fermions also carry an index in the adjoint bundle. So that's the low energy content. And once we know what fermions are, which is described here, then we can calculate the fermion index. Or in other words, we calculate just the usual index, but regard curvature not as a honest form on the spectrum, but as some but regard these curvatures living in abstract algebra, which obeys some abstract identities. But in any case, this fermion index is given by this particular differential form, which can be synthesized, because if I have a vector space, and if I have take the positive chiral fermion and take the virtual sum, this is in the case theory sense, with the minus with negative chiral fermion on that vector space, then if I calculate the chain count of that as a formula, this is equal to the Euler class of that vector bundle divided by the a hat form. So the endomorphism with the chain character of the endomorphism, of course, is decomposed in this way. Now, unfortunately, we have something that factorizes this, where y, script y, is equal to this differential form. So you see, here is how the square root comes in, because there are two copies of y. So, because we are considering the effective theory on y, so the characteristic class should be integrated over y, but I can use a POM form of the normal bundle, which is embedded into a neighborhood of the total space-time, which is supported either near y or exactly on y. If it is supported exactly on y, then it would be a delta function sort of differential form. And this is the integration of y is the integration of x with the extra factor of that POM form. And it satisfies the following mathematical identity, which is the wedge of the POM form together is equal to the POM form wedge has the callback of the Euler class of the normal bundle. So the Euler class wedge the POM form becomes tau wedge tau, and it is more symmetric in this way. So anyway, the conclusion that is that the characteristic class that appears in the family index factorizes. This is very nice because, according to our experience in Green-Schwarz, anomalous cancellation being factorizable simplifies the question a lot. So how do we do transgression? Well, since it factorizes, we do the transgression of y itself, and then we do y wedge y. So let's do the transgression of y. Y is locally closed form. So y is a closed form, so locally it is exact. And the variation of that y0 is also locally exact. then that is what is here in the variation, in the anomalous variation. And that is for what? And we are actually interested in why, which, why, bar, which, whose transgressions can be done in, with some sort of trivial amount of algebra, quadratic form, which is varied quadratic form. And anyway, this is the result of the transgression. That's what appear in the variation, anomalous variation of the effective action. Then we see that it is now zero. So the theory is anomalous unless we do something, unless we add a similar counterterm, which will cancel this anomalous variation in the same way as in the Green-Schwarz anomaly cancellation mechanism. Yes?
Is it a necessary condition that the form factorizes for us to be able to add counterterms? Physics, you know that SL32 is the only group you can have in the type of case, but...
Right, there's no group here.
But like...
Well, you see, if you look at Green-Schwarz hypothetical, then it has... it's also factorized. You want to separate the variation of B with, say, the transgression of some lower characteristic problem. And it seems that we do require the structure of factorizing the I prop. Otherwise, you would not succeed just by adding a B form. You have to probably add a 10 form and write down the variation just opposite to that, and that is a bit unnatural. So we see that without doing anything, the theory is anomalous. The low energy theory on the brain is anomalous. So we have to add a counterterm. The counterterm is the following. So C is the field in the the potential in the Ramon sector of the type 2D string, and here is the counterterm. And of course, we now naively, of course, C is a differential form of space time, but as we have experienced previously, now we demand that transform now trivially and engage in the diffeomorphism transformation, and this is the transformation. So it has a non-trivial transformation in the deep, in the grain background. It depends on the grain, but it's not naive in a differential form anymore. And also the field strength, the Ramon field strength should also be modified so that it is invariant. If we do that, then if we can now rewrite this counterterm. First of all, if we do that, then you can show that easily that the variation of this counterterm cancels that variation, that transgression result, and therefore the whole theory will become anomaly free. So being anomaly free forces us to add this counterterm. Of course, there are other derivations for this kind of coupling. It looks like that the C field, which is the potential, has a certain charge to which it couples. The charge is, of course, Y wedge palm class, which can be written by some simple mathematics into this, where the A hat of the total tendency is, of course, equal to A hat of N times A hat of the submanifold. And that's why this is true. And you see that this part is very nice. If now we use K-theory, only mathematically. K-theory at this stage is not yet a physical interpretation. But nevertheless, this is the Chern class of a very natural bundle in the K-theory. We have a Chern pattern line bundle, Chern pattern vector bundle over the world volume Y, which is a submanifold of the space-time. That there is very natural map in K theory, which is a palm isomorphism, sending a vector bundle on a submanifold to the total space. and that map is defined in the following way. So suppose I have a normal bundle which is embedded in the tubular neighborhood. I first pull the vector bundle on Y to a tubular neighborhood of Y, and then tensor with pair. An element in the K group can be described by a pair. This is a pair which is the even and odd part of the exterior power of the normal bundle. And there should be a map here, and the map is the exterior multiplication. But this defines an element in the K group. You can show that the term character of this particular element in the K group of X is equal to that. So once we use that K-theoretical notation, the formula for Hebrian charge becomes simpler. Here is just a mathematical
step. Could you explain that again? Lambda even and lambda odd. What are you doing?
Well, you see, an element in the K group can be described by a pair and a map between them. Right.
Oh, okay.
So here I'm describing a pair for you and a map for you. Mm-hmm. Right. So that is the definition of compact morphism. Okay. So I have a question. I cannot get rid of bar. But usually in physics literature, there's no complex conjugate. Right?
I'm not sure why these are
because the Champassin bundle is not the real bundle. It has a complex conjugate, and it comes from the endomorphism here. And when I do the transgression, the bar is always here. So I actually put a complex conjugate here. I cannot get rid of that. I mean, the target term now has this plus a complex conjugate. If the C field in the Ramon sets a real field for complex,
it's real.
Okay, so.
No, I mean, we usually think of the gauge bunch as being Hermitian. I mean, you know, something the gauge was unitary and is a
right
structure, but I don't know. So actually,
the reason for this part is that there might be a U1 factor in UN, and that corresponds to this.
Oh.
Part.
So why is complex, you're saying?
The endomorphism, chain constant, the endomorphism is chain constant B wedge, chain constant B dual. B dual is of course B bar. That already used the Hermitian condition. So I have that small puzzle.
By the way, guys, you didn't give us reference. I'm not sure. Is there a place we can go to for this presentation? In this language, is there a reference?
Okay. That the realization of this follows from a few papers. One is. This chart was calculated using anomaly requirements by Moore and some other people.
Okay.
And then Chun and Ying improved that by considering possibility of a non-trivial normal bundle. And then another person with more mostly more realized that this is very natural from a K-theoretical point of view. So that's the history. That's as far as the first place where K-theory appears, but it's only mathematical. Now, this leads to a conjecture that because K theory appears so nicely here, perhaps more intrinsically the Dibran charge should be in the K group of Q, whereas that differential form Q is reproduced from the element in the K group in this particular way. Notice that this map is also very nice mathematically, because this is just the map, the isomorphism between the K group without torsion, and the cohomology group without torsion. This is this moreover preserves the pairing on the K group and the cohomology group. The pairing on the K group is defined by this Dirac index. The cohomology pairing is the usual intersection form, and this may preserve pairing because of the index formula for the Dirac operator. The 2a hat square root becomes 1 just a hat, which appears in the index for the Dirac operator. So, very natural to think about this in the K theory. I want to explain why physically, what is the physical reason that K-theory should enter the theory of brains, and that was already explained in the last four lectures. I'm only giving a very brief review. So what has to be seen here is the fact of being that in the K-group with appropriate compact support, x is space-time, d of x is boundary of the infinity, and suppose we start from nine brains. We have nine brains and anti-nine brains, which are whose world more than space-time filling. So the whole space-time is the world volume, and we have Champatin bundles of rank n each over the space-time. And at low energies, the bosonic fields of space-time are given by this matrix, where A and A prime are gauge fields for in these two bundles respectively. And the Pascal is a section of the homomorphism bundle between these two, and the map between these two bundles. And from string perturbation theory, we know that it has negative mass, therefore the situation is unstable. Therefore, it is believed that there is some potential for the tachyon, so that it can compensate to the minimum of the potential. The all possible minimum is usually called the vacuum manifold. And that happens at infinity, or at least most part of the space time. But there are some exceptions. There are some certain sub manifolds for topological reason. The tachyon cannot roll to the minimum and therefore it stays at zero. Now, it was argued by Wilson, for example, that we have these U1 cross UN gauge group that acts transitively on that modular space of classical vacuum, and for each vacuum, the isotropic group is the diagonal group. Namely, one can bring this matrix into a matrix with equal eigenvalues, so that modular space is a copy of UN. Now, if that is the case, and if we still believe, as we did very often in the field theory context, that charges should classify topologically different situations, then what are the topologically different situations? Well, at infinity, the tachyon can take various configurations in that natural manifold, and topologically non-trivial situation is the homotopy class of the map from infinity to UN. And that can be shown mathematically that it is K group with compact support. So from here we have physical evidence that K theory should appear and it should be where the charge of B brain lives. And there's another evidence is just that for the nine brain and anti brain system, the number of N can change because of creation and annihilation of B brains, so that the rank of the vector bundle can change, and that is another feature in K theory. So it is also believed that the singular configuration of the vortex, perhaps in higher dimensions, this is physically identical to a lower dimensional D brain, which we could very well be starting with. And this is because although tachyon rose to the minimum, the potential has negative energy. Nevertheless, it cancels the positive energy of the brain so that we have zero energy and it's possible to receive this measure. So that's, I don't know how much evidence that is believed. So that is appearance of K group for D brain charges in type 2B string theory, and for type 2A string theory, It is slightly different. The charges are now in K-1 of the exhibit because of the following reason. We start with just N nine-grains without anti-grains. It's already unstable because we are not allowed to have all the grains in type 2 A string theory. In fact, the whole endomorphism the sections of the whole endomorphism group correspond to platforms that have negative mass and unstable. And it is claimed by a person called Karana, and that the vacuum manifold which minimizes the tetrahedral potential is a Grassmannian, a set of n planes in two-dimensional complex vector space. When n is large compared to the dimension of x, this is almost homotopic to the same as the classifying space of the unitary group. So the charge classifies topologically different configuration, so it's the homotopic class from the infinity of the mass from infinity to that space vacuum manifold, and it turns out by simple mathematical calculation it is K-1 of x. So that is why K charges in type 2A string theory should be K-1 of the space time. Now there's another way to look at why K-1 should appear. Remember, there's mathematically a different description of K-1. Well, there is a description of K-1 as follows. K-1 is the K of the suspension of X. Suspension of X consists of two parts, the upper half and the bottom half. In order to define a bundle, we should glue the bundle on the equator. The equator is a copy of X. So an element in K-1 of X is given by an isomorphism, or homotopic class of isomorphism from the bundle to itself. And that is realized physically by the tetra. That is why K-1 should appear to contain brain charges. And it was also covered in the last two lectures that the Ramon field themselves are not naive differential forms characterized by the Durham cohomology class, but rather they are some other mysterious object which are topologically classified by the K group elements rather than by cohomology group of the space time. And more precisely, the Ramon field are classified in type 2 A string theory by K-1 of X, in type 2 A string theory by K of X. And then, of course, I should tell you the correspondence. Given the fancy way of version of categorizing the Ramon field, how do I get a differential form? And the differential form is, again, by taking that isomorphism in the case for type 2A string theory. In the case for type 2B string theory, it is slightly more complicated, but mathematically related to the odd index of the Dirac operator. It goes as follows. K-1 of X is the suspension of X. There's a map from X cross S1 to the suspension. So in the K theory, there's a reverse map. So it is this can be regarded as a bundle over X cross S1, which is trivial when restricted of X. But nevertheless, we can integrate the trend class of that bundle, which is obtained by inclusion. Now it is a bundle over X minus X cross circle. So it is an even form here, and if I integrate along the fiber, along the circle, then this becomes an odd form, which an even form, so this is an odd form, which is what it should be in type 2 string theory. So that is some correspondence. So let's finish the review of D-brain charges in Ramon-Ramon field. Now we are ready to discuss key duality. And as you know, key duality is if I classify one of the nine-dimensional space, a circle of a certain radius, then the dual version is here we have the same nine-dimensional space time, but the ninth dimension is changed into a dual circle with probably inverse radius of the circle prime equal to one, and moreover, the the duality action on the operator algebra is that the right moving string node on the worksheet gets a minus sign, whereas the left moving node is not changed. And because of supersymmetry, the fermion, the right moving fermion, has also been changed correspondingly. So that corresponds to a partial automorphism of SLA, which is given by the 6 in the Dinkin diagram, and if it exchanges the spinner with positive chirality and negative chirality, and therefore it exchanges type 2A and type 2B string theory. So if you look at the Ramon-Ramon set, those potentials are coming from the these particular decomposition for 2A and 2B respectively. Here is the space of differential forms, of course only the self-dual part appears here. And from the representation content, because we are setting these representations, if you work out the algebra, then there's a map from here to there, and the map is conveniently described in the following way. If there is already an index 9 in that differential form, then it is mapped to form by deleting the index 9. If there is no index 9 here, then I add an index 9, but that index 9 is in the dual circle. So that is up to us. That is the action of the key duality on the Ramon-Ramon potential is temporarily regarded as a differential form. So this kind of action can be written in a concise way as follows. Suppose I add all the possible potentials, put it here. Here in the T-dual version, I also add the potentials. Then I say that the previous map can be summarized into this formula. I have considered a differential form on N, which is a 9 manifold cross circle cross the dual circle. So this is an 11 dimensional space. And here we have a 2 form of wedge that the original C. And I say this gives the map from the previous transparency. I integrate that over the circle, so I kill one direction. And this is for the following reason. If there is index 9 here in that differential form, then this will not appear because of asymmetry. So it is just integrating over the 9th direction, and the index 9 is killed. If there is no index 9 here, then this is the relevant part. When this integrates along the circle, it disappears. Then I end up with a 9 index in the dual circle. That summarizes this map in this very concise way. And if I take, integration on the fiber connected D, so if I take D, then H, the field strength, is also transformed in a similar way. But there's something very nice here, because I mathematically there is what is called the Poincaré bundle over any torus times its dual torus, because there is a natural synthetic form here, and if I tune the lattice size to be nice enough, which is the case here, because that radius is the inverse of the original circle, then this synthetic form is in the integral Durand class. So the line bundle whose curvature is precisely that. It's your first chain number is equal to 1. And if I calculate the total chain character of this bundle, it is equal to 1 plus the first chain class plus the second chain class. Well, that is 0 because we don't have enough dimension. So it is exactly that. So we can further simplify, further write it into a more intrinsic form like this. Now, so this is as far as we get if we just regard the Ramon-Ramon field strength as differential forms. Now we are ready for a k-theoretical version of the t-duality, which will reproduce this star formula, which is the usual version of the t-duality. So we need to find, remember that I said mentioned earlier, that actually the Ramon-Ramon field had better be classified by some abstract elements in the character field that are called theta, whose chain character essentially is the usual differential form as you understand. Now you, so that we need to find out a map between the related K groups. You see, for type 2A string theory, this is the appropriate K group. For type 2B string theory, K minus 1 is the appropriate K group. So is there a natural map here? Is there a natural map from beta to eta hat so that down to Earth we have a differential form that H will be corresponding to H hat, is that is exactly given by this formula. And in fact, there is, but here is the construction. So we want to find this map. Well, first of all, we transfer the Poincaré bundle, and now this becomes the K group of the of n cross S1 cross S1 hat. And notice that this can be decomposed into two parts. Whenever I see a circle cross another manifold, this K group is equal to K on that manifold plus K minus 1 of that manifold. This circle disappears after this decomposition, and I just project to the second component, and that is just the map. We can also think of this as a family of Dirac operators over a family which is then crossed and attached, whereas the vibration, the fiber, is actually that circle. It's quite a trivial Dirac operator, and that family index is in that frame. Minus one of that group, so this is just another way to see that. But anyway, we have a mesh from this composition, and we can show, think or exercise that this reproduces that formula at the cohomology level. And we finally we check that we know that T duality is square is equal to y, so that we should also be able to check that its action on a K group is possibly one. If I ask T duality twice. So if I ask once, then it becomes K minus 1. I ask twice, the circle gets inverted, and K minus 2, and by Bob theory, this is the original group. So that's a very nice check. And here I talk about Ramon-Ramon's field, and the charge can be understood in a similar way. There's also a similar map which is almost the same, and I'm not going to write down. So that is an understanding of T duality and the level of K theory. So that's all. We see that K theory appears naturally in the D-brain and the string theory. It is first suggested by the anomaly cancellation, and it's confirmed by physics of tactile condensation in the brain and have brain system, and it's tested by T-duality and many other things. So, and we notice that so far, the whole class D field is set to zero. If we turn that on, then the theory becomes more complicated, and it becomes even more complicated, and the K theory turns out to be replaced by twisted K theory, which we haven't discussed any of that yet. So,
it's turning on a B field. I mean, it's interesting because right now in string theory, well, it's not clear what the main direction is, but there are two very active directions. One has been this K-theory construction of constructing brains from higher dimensional brains. And the other is this thing called non-unitive geometry, where when you turn on a B field, the coordinates on the brain effectively become non-commutative.
Yeah.
And they've kind of been parallel developments, but clearly there's some kind of close connection between them.
Yeah, in fact, there's a paper by Faulkner and Martin who talked about twisted K theory in the context of turning on a B field. And in that paper, a very heavy machinery of non-commutative geometry is used.
Uh-huh.
So,
and I repeated to someone the question I've been asked about what are the new areas of mathematics that might up here. Is this something, which is more current, I guess, in terms of mathematics or classic?
I'm not sure how system theory is weird in mathematics.
Or is it just so classic? Is this so classic material?
Actually, what exactly is system theory?
I don't know.
Is it in the is it in what you would call algebraic theory?
Yeah,
it's more related to algebraic theory. Yeah. But if it's just a case theory of sheet algebra, then it's a pretty classical.
Yeah, yeah.
Right. There's a very interesting paper by Harvey, Martinek, and Krauss. Recently, this idea that you can turn on a tachyon field and roll to a new vacuum and get a get an interesting state. It's been mostly done numerically so far, which is interesting in itself. But they found a way to do it analytically in case that you had a large B field. Then there was it uses a paper by Strominger and people on non-Buddhist solitons. It's less than a month old, and
what is the effective potential?
Does anybody look in more detail? Morton?
They can solve it in the large state, it'll series in one of
the series in one, right, yeah, I guess that, yeah. I guess what happens is when theta is very large, then the derivative, when b is very large, actually, it's not actually B being large, but it's a large limit of large non-commutativity. Then the derivative terms in the action become unimportant relative to the quartic non-derivative terms, and there is a systematic way of finding solitons there. Again, I don't know if it constitutes being mathematically interesting at all, but it's something which is interesting to physicists.